Hey, what a great song to lead right into what we're going to be looking at tonight. Tonight is one of those very encouraging passages, but something we often forget to remember, you know. Some things you know, but you just sometimes forget to remember what you know, you know. So when things happen and circumstances get crazy and life just gets to be just upside down and just fast-paced and furious, we forget to remember what we know. And tonight I just want to kind of encourage you tonight, and this is a word that has always encouraged me as I read this psalm, and I hope it is an encouragement to you, a reminder to remember, okay? When life gets crazy, we need to remember whose we are, all right? If you will turn to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Now, I'm not going to read through the whole passage. We're going to use the whole passage, but I'm not going to read through it once and then come back. I'm just going to kind of read through it and parse it as we go and look at some of the truths in it and some things that we need to be reminded of as children of God, those who have accepted His grace, His forgiveness for our sin, been adopted into His family. We are the object of His love and His grace and His mercy and His patience. This psalm is written for the choir. It's a psalm that is written to encourage the people of God as they come into worship and reminding them who they worship and why He's worthy of worship. Okay, this is a hymn, a psalm of encouragement, something that was sung during worship, and it was sung when the people were approaching for worship. And it was something to, again, to remind them who they're there to meet with. And oftentimes we need to remember this for our own lives. And some of these verses will be verses you know very well because they're verses that we like, that we like to repeat, but we often forget the truth and the ramifications of this truth. So beginning in verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. So it begins right off the bat with the faithfulness of God, right off the bat of who God is to us. And he says, He's our refuge. Now, a refuge is what? It's a place you run in times of trouble. It's a place you get away from an enemy. It's a place where you hide from those who are stronger than you, who are out to harm you, not to do you good. You don't take refuge from people that are trying to bless you. You don't take refuge from folks that are trying to help you along. You don't run from those kind of people. But there are times when our life seems to be overpowered and the circumstances of our life are overwhelming. And there are times when we need a refuge. But not only is a hiding place, but he describes him a second way. He says, God is our refuge and strength. Not only is a place that we hide, but he's also the one who's there to take care of us. It's like the two folks that are hanging out, and somebody comes up to there's two of them. One's a big guy, one's a little guy, and somebody comes up and has an issue with the little guy, and you know, and he steps over behind the big guy and says, "Yeah, bring it on, you know, come get you some." Well, that's the same thing. God is our strength. He's our refuge, the place we hide, and we just get behind God and say, "Okay, come get you some if you think you can get through Him." He is our strength. But not only the one who protects us, but He is our personal strength. He gives us the strength to endure. He is the source of our refuge, a place to run and hide when we're weak. He's our place to run and hide when we need protection. But He's also the source of our strength when we need to stand firm. When we need to stand our ground and not run. And there are times when it's appropriate to do that. To where we just need to, as He says, to resist the devil. And He'll flee from you. So sometimes it's appropriate to run and hide. Sometimes we need to make a tactical retreat. Sometimes we just need to stand our ground and say, look, enough is enough. But He is our strength either way. And He describes Him further in that first verse. It says, in my translation, it says, a very present help in times of trouble. Or it could be this way, an abundantly available help in time of trouble. Very present, that means He's here. He's not off out there somewhere and we got to call 911 and wait for Him to get here. He's a very present help. He is an abundantly available help in our time of trouble. So we don't have to wonder if God's going to show up. We don't have to wonder if God can help. He is abundantly available. He is a very present help. He's able to do something. He's able to handle the situation. Not only is he there, but he's capable, is what it means. So God is our refuge. The truth is here that we're reminded of, that God is our refuge and our strength. He's a very present and abundantly available help in trouble. Therefore, he begins to talk about some things. Therefore, that means because of this truth, what does that mean for us? How do we relate that to our lives? Therefore, we will not fear. As Christians, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to wring our hands in wonder and worry and stress and fret. We don't have to be afraid. So he says, since this is who God is, He is our refuge and our strength. He's a very present help in times of trouble. Because of that truth, therefore, we will not fear. Fear is no longer an option. Fear is no longer a necessity. Fear is no longer how we need to respond or walk through this life. We will not fear. Now, fear when? What are some circumstances that we don't need to fear? And he begins to describe some very crazy things that could happen. And so these are not things that will happen, but he says, even if this happens, we will not fear because of who God is, because of the truth of who God is. Even if this happens, I will not be afraid. Therefore, we will not fear, though, just in case, if possibly, the earth should change. Now, in life, there's a lot of things that change. But you know, if you go to the Smoky Mountains, you know what you expect to see? The mountains. You don't expect to get there and it just be a level plain. You expect when you go to the mountains, you're going to see the mountains. When you go to the Rockies, you're going to see the Rockies. When you go to the desert, you're going to see sand. You know, the earth, the way the earth is formed doesn't change much. And we expect to see it when we go to see it. No matter what happens in the world, no matter what's going on, we expect certain things to be like they are. Those things we can count on no matter what. The writer is saying, because God is our refuge, because God is our strength, because He is a very present help in our time of trouble, therefore we will not fear, even though those things that we have always counted on change. Even if the unchangeable things of life change. Now there's one word that Southern Baptists are afraid of, hate, just tremble in the face of: change. It says, even if Sunday morning service changes, we're not going to fear. Even if the style of music changes, we're not going to fear. Even if the time of worship that we meet together changes, we're not going to fear. He says, even if those things that have always been and always will be, that we've always counted on to be the same every day we wake up, if anything about the earth, if the earth changes, we don't have to fear. If everything you ever counted on in life, every person you've ever counted on lets you down, that should never bring fear into our lives. Because God is our refuge. He is our strength. He is an abundantly available help in our times of trouble. So it doesn't matter what you've counted on or who you've counted on and how quickly and dramatically it changes or they change. We will not fear. We don't have to be afraid. It says, and though, that means, doesn't mean they will, but he says, and though, if possibly, the mountains slip into the heart of the seas. If you go and all of those mountains and cliffs along the edge of the sea fall into the water, if everything changes that you thought would always be, it should not bring fear. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake as its swelling pride, It says no matter how much change takes place, no matter how much those things that we've always counted on, the people we've always counted, no matter how quickly, how dramatically, how violently our life gets turned upside down, that is not a cause for us to fear. No matter even if Democrats get elected president. No matter even if Republicans get elected president. No matter even if the Supreme Court goes radically liberal. It shouldn't bring fear into our lives. We get that, we always think we're 10 foot tall and bulletproof, and we think we're going to live forever till we start getting old. But once we do, and life changes, can't do what I used to could do. Can't go as fast as I used to could go. Can't go as long as I used to could go. Can't get out of bed as quick as I used to. I should never bring fear. The pronouncement of a disease, cancer, heart disease, should never bring fear. Why? Because God is our God, and He is our refuge. When it seems overwhelming, we can run to Him. When we need strength, He will provide it. He is an ever-present, abundantly available help in time of trouble. So no matter the circumstances of life, no matter how upside down our life becomes, those things we always counted on, even if it's just our help, nothing should bring fear to the heart of a believer. Why? Because God is our God. So the truth is that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Truth number 2, verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is. Now before he was talking about though, possibly, if something like this might happen. But here these are definitives. God is in the midst of her, and she will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar and the kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Again, he's reinforcing this idea of the faithfulness of God and the fact that God's presence brings peace. See, that's what we need to focus on. And most of the time, we seek the hand of God. God, I need you to fix this. God, I need you to solve this. God, I need you to work in this. And we get ourselves all worked up in the tizzy trying to convince God he needs to do something. When the truth is, we just need to experience his presence. Seek his presence rather than his hand. Because it's in the presence of God, everything that we need will be found. The strength, refuge, the blessing that we may need, the healing we may need, but most importantly, it's the peace of God is found in the presence of God. So when our life becomes an uproar, when things that should never change and we thought never would change, do change dramatically, change radically, change violently, change immediately, and it just rocks our world. We need to, rather than seek God's hand, say, God, fix this. God, make it like it used to be. God, do something. We need to just say, God, show me you're here. Because in the presence of God is where we find the peace of God. And that's what we need more than anything. We need the peace of God. And it's in that peace of God that enables us to stand strong, enables us to guard our hearts and our minds from the lies of Satan that Steve was talking about this morning. It allows us to stand firm against Satan, but it also allows us to say, okay, God, this is my new reality. And sometimes that's the hardest thing to do, is accept change. And when we seek the presence of God is God will. and we look for the presence of God. There, he says, there is a river flowing, a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the dwelling place of God. It's the presence of God. It's the Holy Spirit of God. And so he's saying, look, when times are troubled, when all these things happen, how do you not get worried? How do you not get afraid? Don't focus on what God needs to do. Don't focus on what God you want God to do. Don't focus how God needs to intervene and change things back or change them to something else. He says, simply seek the presence of God. Because where the presence of God is, the peace of God is. And sometimes the greatest and hardest thing we need, the most important thing we need, is, like I said a while ago, the ability to accept our new reality. You know, as long as we keep waking up in the morning, we're going to get older. And the older we get, the less this body functions like it did when I was 25. And sometimes instead of fighting against, now I want to age as well as I can. I want to be able to do as much as God wants me to do as long as I can. I'm like Rick. Now I know I'm going to die one day, but when I die, I want to go strong till I die. You know, I go to the gym. I work out. I try to exercise because I want to be able to do as much as I can for God as long as I can for God. But I know one day I'm going to die. But I also know that I can't lift what I used to could lift. Used to, that would drive me insane. I would hurt myself trying to get back to doing what I used to could do because I can't accept my present reality. And I get aggravated, I get frustrated, and I get down, and I get bummed out because I can't do what I used to could do. But the truth is, I don't care how hard I work, I don't care what I do, I'm never going to be able to do what I used to could do because this is my present reality. I'm 53, not 25. And so when I accept my present reality, lifting all that weight that I used to lift is no big deal anymore. This is who I am. This is the body I've got to work with. And as long as I get older, the less I'm going to be able to do. And there are so many people that can't live life because they cannot accept their present reality. They're so depressed, they're so bummed out, they're so just got off with, they're so afraid. They can't accept that, man, change has come. And if we can accept our present reality, the peace of God, if we can just focus on God's presence in our life, God, how can you use me at 53 in a way you couldn't have used me when I was 25? God, how can you use me at 75 in ways you couldn't use me when I was 55. God, how can you use me now that I've been given this pronouncement of terminal cancer? It's my present reality. But God, I want to glorify you in this sickness that I have. This is my present reality. And God, I just need your presence in it so I can face whatever comes with the strength and the peace that your presence gives. And I've seen the difference it makes in life of Christians when they're facing just unbelievable hardship, but they face it as they're looking at the presence of God. They face it by seeking the presence of God, and they just accept this is my present reality. This is how life is right now. But in the middle of it, God is present. And in the middle of that presence, there is such a peace about their circumstances. And God uses their testimony. God uses that peace. God uses that lack of fear to just pronounce His glory to everyone around Him. But I've also seen Christians, and I know they love Jesus, get some bad news and just absolutely fall to pieces. Absolutely focus on nothing but God, you got to fix this. God, you got to fix this. God, you got to fix this. And they're always worried. They're always stressed out. There's no sense of faith, no sense of peace. It's just they're just their life is now in a turmoil because they will not accept their present reality. And that God is God even over this. And so they focus on God, fix it, rather than the presence of God, so therefore they miss the peace of God. And God gets no glory. Because they're reacting, they're responding, they're living life just like a non-believer who gets the same news or experiences the same circumstance. So the psalmist is reminding the people as they come up to God, as they come to worship, they remind him who God is. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we don't have to fear change. And we need to just focus on His presence. Man, when we gather in this place, if we could just focus on the presence of God, I'm telling you, God's presence would be manifested in such a huge way. Instead of coming, God, I need you to do this. God, I need you to do that. What's God going to give me today? What's God going to do for me today? I need God to move today. No, what you need is the presence of God. Because in the presence of God, everything else that He already knows you need is available. But the most important thing is His peace. Then He reminds them that God is in control over every situation. Verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolation on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. He said, remember what God's done in the past? Remember how God's rescued before? You remember how God's worked before? It was the presence of God that mattered. But He was always working for you. He was always moving you. He was always doing things that were well beyond your ability. He took care of you in ways you couldn't imagine. So he reminded them of the works that God does, that God is in control. Even those things that are bigger than you, that are outside of your control, that pronouncement of disease or that person that's let you down, that you've tried to be a good friend, you've tried to be a good spouse, you've tried to be there for them, but yet it's like they stabbed you in the back, man. No matter what you've done, they've let you down, somebody you never thought would. God's bigger than that. And I think in this passage, in this part, he's saying, look, this is who God is. Therefore, we don't have to fear change. He says we need His presence because in His presence we find His peace. And he's got this. And he continued to remember, God has got this. Just like Paul said, if we live for Christ. If we die, we die for Christ. You know, God is bigger than life. God's bigger than our troubles. And you know, God doesn't expect us to be able to fix all the problems we face. He just needs us to focus on Him. Dwell in His presence. Let the peace of God overcome us and be reminded that He is bigger than our problems. Verse 10 and 11. Love these passages. But the reason we can do 10 and 11 is because of 1 through 8. Okay? Cease striving and know that I'm God. Another way of saying, let it go. Relax. You know, sometimes that's just hard to do. Relax. Relax. Literally, that's what it means. Relax and know that I'm God. Quit stressing out. Know that I'm God. Quit being afraid. Know that I'm God. Be reminded that this is who I am to you. You are my son. You are my daughter. And as much as you care for your sons or your daughters, your love for them doesn't even come near, isn't on the same scale for how I feel about you. And I can actually do something about this life. So relax. Man, there's a lot of times I just want to tell people, man, chill out. God's got this. And I think that's exactly what the psalmist is saying. Folks, chill out. Quit stressing. Quit being afraid. seek God in His presence. Quit trying to tell Him what He needs to fix. Quit trying to tell Him what He needs to do. Quit trying to tell Him your preference. Just seek His presence and relax. And know that I'm God. Know that I've got this. The Lord of hosts is with us. That title means the Lord of armies. The Lord of armies is with us. The God of Jacob. The God of the Old Testament. The God that we've studied so much about. He is our stronghold. So I guess tonight, the biggest encouragement I want to give you is rather than seeking God's hand, telling God what He needs to do, first and foremost, seek His presence. Understand that life's going to change. Things that you've always counted on, at some point, He's going to let you down in this world. But when it does, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to get stressed out. Just relax and know that He's God. And the peace that goes beyond understanding will guard your heart and your mind. And then when we practice that, the God of peace will be with us, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, or 4, excuse me. Seek His presence. Seek His presence. Seek His presence. And let Him be God. All right? Love you guys. Appreciate you. Let's pray.